Tres, uno,
Two,
dos.
one.
I
Wait, we definitely didn't go in the right order. Okay, well.
went so fast. Okay. Well, fuck it. Hey, what's up, you guys? Welcome back to episode three of Mind, Body, and Soul Food Podcast.
Yeah, I'm Risha.
I am Janae Vera. Holla.
Okay, well, a lot has happened since the last podcast we recorded because that was like forever ago and it took us forever to actually upload those first two episodes. But it's okay because now we're here to actually do ones on time and kind of keep up to date with things now because now we got our lives settled.
Yeah, I don't know. Even though it's that I just keep on having to be more an adult nowadays because I recently just got promoted to work full time at my job. But like, I can still be able to work on the schedules. There just might be some days I might lose a little bit of sleep. But you know what? It's okay. It's life sometimes. You gotta do what you gotta do.
Life is
Unless
a
I'm
college
making
student.
more
I completely
money.
understand hardcore.
Yeah.
Oh, that part I can't understand yet.
Yeah, like at least I'm making more money. Oh yeah, because I didn't even tell you, like with the raise I got, I got raised a whole dollar.
Ooh, that's gonna add
So
up.
I went from 13 to 14. It's
I
beautiful.
can't even relate. Dude, I literally get paid $8.50. I'm crying.
Man, I'll tell you, man, I was so sad when I was doing that catering back at school. Man, I was so sad making that $8.50 because back in Chicago, I was so used to making like, you know, $12, $12.50, and I had to go down a whole $4. When I had to do the little part-time job back in McCall, I was like, what is this? That barely paid the rent.
I'm frustrated. But it's okay. Graduation is just around the corner. It's fine.
Exactly.
Midterms, I have to get through that first, though.
It's your last midterms for at least a year or so. Until you decide you want to get back for your master's.
Oh, God. We'll see after this year if I feel like.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't even know if I want to go back for my master's. I did thought about it because I literally had a. I'm telling you, I had like a, such a serious moment when like the school was coming back because like not only I was seeing like you know y'all group chat stuff, even though I was trolling y'all, but like you know, but I kind of missed that
World's
feeling.
greatest troll.
But like, I actually did low-key miss that feeling when it's just like, okay, I'm moving back to school. It's like a whole new year. I could possibly see some whole new faces. I get to see the peoples again, and just like. And like, of course, having easy access to art studios and all that was just something that like I just missed the feeling of going back to school. I forgot how much I enjoyed that feeling of going back to school. But then also like at work, I got pretty cool with like the coworkers that like you know that are around my age, but like you know they gotta go back to school, and so like I don't see them for like most of the week until like they come to work for the weekend. And I'm just like, dang, y'all made me want to go back to school. Now you know, I'm just like, hold up. I don't want to hire up my student loan debt, so I'm cool.
No, I think it's not so much that we want to go back to school for like the school portion of it. It's more so if you want to go back because of the environment and the people you meet around there.
Exactly.
Yeah, I feel that hardcore. Like that's one thing I'm trying to think about is transitioning. Like I'm really thinking about like how am I going to transition in January? Like, I have to become friends with coworkers. That's scary.
Oh yeah, it's such a serious transition. But I mean, I don't know. I mean, I've always I had no problem making friends because you know, like I don't know.
Lies.
Even though it's like
You
I
are
am
not
antisocial, but I'm a
antisocial.
pretty serious
You're
extrovert. I
friendly.
mean, that was the way that we was able to get.
I
I don't
am the
know. I feel
complete
like
opposite. You want to talk about actual
I don't know.
antisocial?
It's so weird. I don't know. I like to say I'm like because Kendrick Lamar said it one time. He said anti. I forgot what song it was. I think it was Up in DNA. He was like antisocial extrovert. I was like, hey, that's low key me because it's like yeah, I'm friendly, but most of the time I'm like I don't want to deal with you. But at the same time, you did nothing to me, so I'm not gonna be rude. So it's like, but I'm not gonna. That doesn't give me the right to be an asshole to you if I don't feel like dealing with people.
Right. I'm a
But yeah.
friendly antisocial introvert, so.
I guess like with me being like, you know, a serious extrovert, that's how we became cool.
Yeah, you kind of adopted me, so here we are.
Because I just kept egging on about K-pop and shit. And it was just like, because like I was just, you know how lonely I was before I met you and Shelby, bro. I was so lonely. Because I had nobody else to talk about K-pop with at school. It was only my two best friends back at home. And like, so I was just like, you know, in love with K-pop by myself. And then I ran to y'all, and I was just like, oh my God, I found my people.
You have no idea how terrified I was coming back from Korea. I'm like, I need people to talk about stuff with, but I don't know anybody. Like, before I left, I literally knew no one that was even cared about K-pop, Korean culture at all. And then once I came back from Korea, I was so scared. I was so thankful I met all of you people.
Yeah, and like, I still think about that one funny memory that I had with Shelby, because like, I know I seen her like at least a year ago before I had like class with her and I met you. Because I remember like one day I believe I was staying up in Thompson, and like I was like walking down the path like when I was getting off the bus from like whatever, and I had like a little like chibi version of like RM on my backpack, like a little button, and she saw that and she was just like, I like your button. And I was like, thank you. She was like, you a BTS fan? I was like, yeah. And it was just like, you play Suicide BTS? And I was like, yeah. And we just kind of left it at that. She kept on walking. And I just never saw her again until we had class.
Why do I feel it's literally the exact same, like, interaction I had with her when I first started talking to her? Literally, we were doing an improv exercise because we had a guest dance teacher come in for the week. Mm-hmm. And they were like, hey, you have to sit in front of this person and talk to them. Well, the person has to talk to you, but you can't respond in any way. And then so she was just like, I'm really excited because one of my favorite bands just dropped a new album today. And it was really exciting. And I was supposed to not react at all. But then I was just like, wait, there is only one person that I know came out with music today. Are you talking about BTS?
I remember this story.
And she was like, yeah. You know BTS? And mind you, I'm not supposed to react at all. And mm-hmm. She's not supposed to react to me. This is the actual assignment. We completely broke it within the first 5 seconds. So. And then right after that, we just kept talking about K-pop after that. And it was pretty funny. Mm-hmm. So. You just have to find them randomly.
Yep. You really do.
All right. Well. On to minor news of the week.
Yeah, we over here feel nostalgic and whatnot. So, like, let's actually get on topic.
Alrighty. Well, okay. So, first of all, since the last time we recorded, something really sad happened, but also extremely happy. Like, it's happy, but also sad at the same time. So, like, a few months back, SM, they have, like, their huge, like, family, we are going to go on tours, large concert thing. It's the SM Town Tours. But they tend to never go anywhere outside of Asia. Anyway, so they did it in Tokyo, and FX trio of Crystal, Luna, and Amber, they got back together and did, like, kind of a little miniature reunion, which was really beautiful. I wanted to cry because FX is my favorite girl group. And then a few weeks later, their contracts expired and my girls left SM. And it's like, we know SM has this thing where they don't want to be like, our group disbanded. They keep it on a low. But to be very honest, we know that they disbanded. At this point, we went like 3-4 years without really hearing much of anything from them, without an album or anything. And I'm actually beyond happy that they decided to part ways from SM. Their treatment there was complete and utter junk, but I'm excited to see where the future takes each one of my lovely women, and I will continue to support them. So that was like the major update for me, like the major minor news, if that makes sense. So I'm really, speaking of nostalgia, that's why I wanted to talk about FX. They're like the first girl group in K-pop that I actually cared about, but I'm happy they went about parted ways with SM and all that fun stuff. So what did you feel like? Did you ever have any moments with FX? Because I know that they kind of didn't really make music by the time you got into K-pop.
Yeah, because to be honest, it was like, I don't want to say, I definitely wasn't like a stan, but like, I've always admired them though. So like, it was, but like, well, again, because like, you know, they haven't like, you know, made like, you know, any music in so long. So especially like, you know, because I really didn't get to K-pop until like, you know, like October, like, you know, 2016. And so like, were they really like, you know, making stuff around that time?
I think Four Walls was like around that time. And that was their last major album. Or was it 2015? See, that's how long it ago it was that I can't even remember if it was 2015 or 2016.
Well, here's the thing, though. Like, because this is, like, none against, like, no FX. Like, just how, like, I was, like, K-pop fan in general. I was just super caught up in the boy group so much. Like, I was probably one of those, like, you know, automatic, like, you know, basic K-pop fans. Like, you know, once they first get into K-pop, they if they first get introduced to a boy group, that's all they gonna listen to, because we're already gonna stereotype all that, like, the girl groups being like all cutesy and stuff.
Yeah.
And it's just like, I probably because like probably one of the first things I saw which messed me up was for the Produce 101 with the Peek Me thing. That was one of my first encounters with any girl stuff, and I was like, what the fuck is this?
I'm not gonna lie, bro, like, for real, I cannot stand that song. I
Nobody
get it
can.
There's people out there that like it, there's people out there that are like, ooh, this that bop, blah blah blah. Oh god, I cannot stand that song. And I think I don't understand how someone can. It is the most, like, it literally pierces your freaking eardrums. I cannot stand it.
I call that the official Korea Boo anthem.
I don't know. I just don't like it. I mean, it's catchy, and that's the point.
Pick me, pick me, pick me.
But I hate it. If you do that, I'm going to...
Anyway. I don't even remember the dance.
I am so sorry. But it's like, when season 2 came around and the song was actually good, I was like, okay, I can give this show a chance. Like, I watched all the first season all the way through, but anytime they performed that song, I would immediately click away or fast forward. I could not stand it. But yeah, it is what it is. People like it. People have their tastes, but it is just not for me in any way. So I can understand you just being turned off.
Yeah, like, it was just, it's like, only because, like, because probably, like, once upon a time, like, I probably heard, because I was so caught with, at first I was caught with BTS, and then, like, it's like a typical pattern. It was kind of like, BTS, thank God 7, and then, who probably else, I don't know, I want to say I was about to get into EXO, but then something happened, I don't remember, so it was just mostly just being into like BTS and GOT7 for like most of the time. And like, and I just remember that, like, you know, I'm watching, like, you know, all the time, all, like, all their videos, and then, like, especially, like, you know, the crack views and all that stuff. And I randomly see, like, you know, no, like, the recommendation. Like, I guess for some reason, it's just like, when you first get into it, that's one of the automatic recommendations. Like, oh, look, Pick Me. And I clicked on it. I was terrified. I'm like, what is this? Why are there so many girls? Is this an actual group? Like, what is this? There was a little fly, and it's flying around me.
Oof.
but no, like, yeah, but I was terrified. So I just automatically stereotype all girl groups, and then, like, but I mean, at the same time though, the funny thing is that, like, even though I'm like stereotype, but I remember like certain songs that, like, I still always like, because, like, I've always known of K-pop ever since I was like 12 or 13. I just never fell into the hole until I was like, you know, 20, 21. And I kind of appreciate that, because I rather look back at my emo phase in high school and not a career boot phase. So I'm okay with that. but I remember, like, you know, the main songs that, like, I was into was mainly 21 songs, of course. But, like, because I was just like, if anything, I just still like those same, like, you know, 2 or 3 21 songs that I like. Of course, I'm the best. And also, I was really into the song Ugly. You remember the song Ugly?
Yeah, I know a lot of people. The first song I got into by them was I Hate You. My angsty ass really lived for it. Like, but all honesty, I get it. I think mine was slightly different, because, again, I got into it, like, when I was like 15/16, but I was always a mature kid, so I never went through a career boot phase. It was just like, I really like this language. I kind of want to learn about it. But the first thing I got into was IU, so I didn't care about girl groups and or boy groups. I only cared about solo singers for a long time until my friend got me into Big Bang. And I was like, okay, I guess I can start liking groups. So it took a minute.
Yeah, no, I was very impressionable, like, especially up in middle school. Like, literally, once I found screamo music, and I was like, oh my God, this is everything to me. I was in all types of the bands. I had so many white boys on my wall.
Oh, Lord.
Like, with the terrible emo bangs and, like, the raccoon makeup. And I was just, and I was also even pretending that I was into certain bands, and I really wasn't. Like, so I kept on claiming that one of my bands was freaking Black Veil Brides, only because I was so obsessed with the lead singer. Even though when I look back, I was like, oh my God, this was just terrible. Why
oh, real,
did I
bro?
Think these dudes were
you
hot?
You gotta show me some of these pictures of you back in the day.
Oh girl, I had the raccoon eyes and everything.
Post them on the Instagram. Let's
oh,
go.
Oh no, that would never happen. I will always show that was in person. I am only okay showing in person. Like, even like to be honest, like if you really want to see it, you could just literally go on my Facebook profile and look at my history of profile pictures. You want to see something? Go all the way down my profile pictures. It's gonna be a lot because you know I be changing my profile picture every time I get my hair done. So
man,
like, there's
bro,
like almost 200 profile pictures.
I'm actually like now you just got me thinking about like my cringy preteen past because I was like when you started talking about like emo phase and I was just like, oh, I went through a Twilight phase. That was not a time. I had Taylor Lautner on my freaking wall. Like, why? Why did I do that? And then that happened at some point. I allowed myself to be that way. And
But hey, Taylor Lautner was life though. Like, he was really life.
I was in love with him, but also at the same time, I'm like, that was cringy, like hardcore cringy. You get that? Did you get it?
No, I didn't get it. Okay, keep talking.
That fly is just gonna keep going.
This bitch.
Preteen days was a time. I'm thankful. No, deadass, I'm really thankful I did not get into K-pop at that time. Well, that'd been terrifying.
No, I'm thankful too. I'd rather deal with my emo phase than career boot phase. I would have just left K-pop altogether after a while. So like, even though that's why I was just like, man, I really wish that like, I really could have been into this K-pop life since like forever. But I was like, you know what? I'm glad I became more of an adult because like, even then, like, you know, when I was at 20, 21, like, you know, I was 20. But like even then I was almost like, you know, about to catch myself being like, you know, a career boy because literally like I'm telling you, I mean, I ain't gonna get like that emotional, but like it is kind of deep because junior year was like a very depressing year for me. So it was like with me finding like, you know, BTS and all that stuff, it was like very confident. And it was just like, you know, me dealing with roommate issues, I didn't want to be in the room. So like I never wanted to be in my room. So like I would literally spend like 6 to 8 hours in the library just watching BTS shit. That's literally what the fuck I was doing. And I just realized like, you know what, okay, I'm kind of doing too much now. So it was just like, you know, I'm a healthy fan. So it's like, I do things in moderation. Granted, I'm still a part of Stan Twitter, but like I do it in moderation. I do it in moderation. And the funny thing is that like I was never obsessed with Twitter. I mean, I always had Twitter. Like I always had a Twitter ever since Twitter came out. Literally, I've always had one. But like I was never really like really too active on there until I got into K-pop. And I'm just like, oh my God, like they tweet, I'm gonna go back on Twitter. So like, and I just forgot how much I really like Twitter. So yeah.
I don't care for Twitter. It's a thing that exists. I only got it because of Wendy's.
why Wendy's?
Wendy's Twitter is hilarious.
Oh, yeah.
I love it. I want to be there anytime they tweet at people. And then also Jay from Day 6. He's just so funny. I was
I love Jay.
I was like, I'm going to just get a Twitter just so I can see these live. I just want to be there in real life and follow these people whenever they do funny things. But yeah, I get it. Honestly, I think that's one thing that connects all of, if not most of us K-pop fans that got into it before the whole wave that's happened within the last year or two. Because like I got into it my junior year, but it was junior year of high school. And that was an extremely hard time for me too. Well, sophomore year going into junior year. So yeah, it's just, it's one of those things that helped us through hard times. And that's good. And that's what connects us all, which is nice. Alrighty, well, I'm happy you're happy, and I'm happy it brought us together.
Yeah. Well, we went on a tangent. Back to FX. Anyway.
I mean, that's what I was saying. Like, FX is the nostalgia. They were one of the first ones for me. So, I'm just happy to see them grow and live their best lives. Continue on. Be the queens that you are. I love every single one of you women.
Yeah, but like they will all be successful in what they do. So like it's like no doubt. I just been like really bit behind on like, you know, all this like, you know, new music releases and all that stuff, because I know Amber put out something called
Hands Behind My Back.
Yeah. I watched the performance version. I mean, like, it was a good choreography. I mean, like, for me, it's like, I mean, even though it's like, for me, the song ain't really like for me, but I'm just happy for her because it just you could just feel that this was what she wanted to do. So that's why I don't mind it, even though it's like I'm not really gonna be like, you know, streaming it or like, you know, playing it because it ain't really for me. But I'm here for anything Amber does, because even if you don't like the song, you could just feel that this is what she wanted to do.
Right.
I just love Amber. Like, that was honestly one of my first K-pop girl crushes, to be honest.
That's pretty much a lot of everyone.
I love Amber.
You're not the only so person. Much. She is well loved in this world.
I love Amber. I love her. I'm so sad that we missed her.
Please don't remind me. Please don't remind me.
But she came on the worst day though. Like, she literally came on finals week. She came to Chicago on the worst day. Wasn't her fault though.
All of these middle of the week performances, especially when I got things to do, like, stop coming during midterms, stop coming during finals, stop coming during the middle of the week. Chicago is a major city. Please act like it. Come on the weekend, please. For the love of God. Some of us have things to do during the week.
And be like LA. We can have 2-3 days now. I mean, we have two, but you can add a third day if you want to, like y'all do with LA. Like, what's up?
Man, like, for real. For real. I mean, granted, I'm thankful. I am thankful for what we have been given. But you can still do more.
Exactly. Like, come on the freaking weekend.
Please. Please do that for us.
Stop coming on the school day.
So we're gonna transition here. Because we went on the world's longest tangent. We went from... That was just the nostalgia opener, I guess.
Yeah, huh? this was the whole nostalgia section right here. Like,
listeners got to learn a little bit about us.
You get to connect with us a little bit more. This is what it's all about.
Also, you can definitely tell us how you got into K-pop and what it did for you, because that's the thing that connects us all. Alrighty, so what is our topic for today, Miss Janae?
All right, we are talking about SM, baby, and this debut, and it was just, like, I don't have complete thoughts on it, because I'm going to be honest with y'all, like, I was literally listening to everything before recording, but, like, so far, I enjoyed it. I just got to figure out what my favorites are and all that stuff, so hopefully, I'll probably do a review in about a week, so, like, whenever I do that... Of course, it'll be referenced somewhere if y'all want to know my opinions on it. I'll probably do it within like a week or so, because again, I have the adult life, so I got a lot going on.
This is our follow-up to what we talked about like an episode or two ago. Wasn't Super M like our first episode?
Yeah, actually, yeah, it was. It was our first episode.
Isn't that funny? It took us so long that our third episode is just a follow. It's okay though, because to the listeners, it's just like, oh, what a quick change. But I mean, obviously my opinions on them didn't change. I was excited before they debuted, and I am excited after the debut. Honestly, like, I've been listening to the EP over and over all day, and I am in love with Supercar Hardcore. But I mean, I expected that because when I tell you out of all of the Super M teasers, Mark was my favorite. And I feel like most people feel that way. Janae hasn't watched all of the teasers yet, so she might not have much of an opinion on the teasers.
Because the only ones that Minnie watched was Ten and Taeyong.
But that's okay.
I believe maybe Taemin. I don't know. I'll be trying to have some sort of dedication to my YouTube channel, but at the same time, I'm not. I don't know. It's just that I just got to find the motivation to do this stuff. And it's just like, I'm like depriving myself of like watching beautiful things because I'm trying to do something that I'm honestly not completely sure if I'm completely passionate about, but I'm like, I still want to do YouTube. YouTube is fun. It's just that, like, I kind of got to do this a different way than, like, I was. Because shit is getting boring, to be honest.
But yeah,
I'm tired of depriving myself of, like, beautiful things.
Yeah, I think that's one disadvantage of being a reactioner. Is that you kind of limit the things that you can enjoy and you put yourself on a schedule just to please others, which is frustrating. But that's also the YouTube life in general. But reactioners, it's even more irritating, especially if you've been waiting for something for so long, but you're like, oh, I can't record it right now because I got things to do. Versus like, oh, well, this is a 3-minute video. Let me just check this out right quick. Back to the EP. Yeah, Supercar is it. That's it. I love it. It's wonderful. I do like No Manners. I do enjoy the sultriness of that song.
Beautiful.
It's sultry. I mean, as expected, Baekhyun showed out. I thought not that, like, I was expecting him to show out. Vocally, he killed the game. Taemin was all, I think he was in every song, and my boy can adapt hardcore, and he's really good. I mean, not like I didn't know that. This is Taemin we're talking about.
Exactly.
It's really interesting to me. I just, because with this supergroup, I had no idea what I was going to get musically, because all of the groups are so different musically. Honestly, listening to Supercar felt like I was listening to NCT 127. But it may just be because Mark and Taeyong had such a strong, heavy portion of it that it felt like an NCT track. But then the title track, though, Jopping, what you feel about that one?
Oh, I'm really trying to think. I'm really trying. shoot, it's like, I'm not gonna lie, it was like I was enjoying it. But I kind of forgot how it sounded already. Because, again, I only listened to it once. So, like, it's not because, but, like, no, I just remember it was, like, you know, a good song. But it's like,
we jumping and popping.
Oh, yeah, but, like, no, but I was just so stuck in the choreography. Because you know how it's, like, you get so distracted by the video? It's, like, you don't really listen too much of the song. Because I can't focus on two things at once. It's, like, I focus on one thing, and then, like, then I'll listen to the other. Because, to be honest, it's, like, even my opinion on the song, I got, like, listen to it separate from the video. So all I could do was talk about the video. And I just find it disrespectful that Kai was just constantly in center. That was so freaking disrespectful.
I want a dance practice.
Did not appreciate.
I want a dance practice. Now.
Yes. Oh, we need that. Oh, we need that.
I want a dance practice that literally look. All y'all out there that have seen the Monster dance practice video, that's what I want for this. Where they got all the lighting and everything. It looks like a production in and of itself. That's what I want for this. When Baekhyun told me and the rest of the world that from start to finish, this dance was gonna be a dance break, I was ready. I was like, oh, I'm here for it, boo. And then the moment I saw this video and I was like, oh, yes, we appreciate. And now I need that dance practice. I mean, I get it. The music video literally just came out like in 20 minutes, 24 hours ago. But I need a dance practice yesterday. Like, the dance practice should have been dropped with the music video. I don't know why it wasn't.
Exactly.
I don't know why they don't act like that's not what we wanted, because we sure wanted it.
They're being cowards.
They are being cowards. Like, they act like we wasn't here for the choreography. We was here for the choreo. Like, yes, I was here for the visuals. There were some beautiful men's.
It was.
But I wanted that choreo. I mean, the song itself, it sounds like Avengers. And I mean, it's kind of the point. So, it was hype. I think that's another thing. I was just not expecting them to go down the rock right route. Like, it sounded like a rock mixed with hip hop. It was fun.
Mm-hmm.
And then there was like that electro pop. And I was like, ooh, we appreciate. Baekhyun again showing out on the vocals. Our boy Taemin doing his Michael Jackson in the desert. Because you know, Michael Jackson's everywhere. And Taemin Jackson is everywhere.
I was like, yes, Taemin Jackson. I was like, yes, Taemin Jackson.
We love Taemin Jackson. 10 destroyed me in the beginning, disappeared in the middle, and then came back to I resurrected in the middle of the music video. Then he murdered me again at the end. And I was like, okay, 10. That's why they couldn't put him throughout the whole music video. Because they just knew. They just knew. They were just like, we can't have 10 too much or else people gonna die.
These bitches ain't real. I don't know. I thought like 10 was really gonna mess, like, F it up, because, like, you know, in the beginning, it was like a little effects. I'm like, oh my God, he's loading. 10 is loading.
I mean, like, was loading. Did you see his breakdown at the end? That's what all that was leading up to. Also,
like, it caught me by surprise. I was like, oh no, something about to go down. Like, this man is loading up, like, literally, just
bzz. Yo. I'm in love with that man. You have no idea. I am in love with him. Honestly, like,
you know, I still kind of laugh. I still can't help but laugh when I think about Tim, because, like, we just convinced that he's a drag queen and it's hilarious.
He's the greatest on this planet Earth. And I am so happy he has finally touched down in American soil. And I'm just like, ooh, one step closer. Even though he's so far away, sad face. Anyway, yeah. But hey, look, God, please give me these tickets.
We gonna
please
see 10. These
tickets. We gonna go.
We're going to manifest this right now.
Speak it into existence. We will be seeing 10 in Chicago, November 13th. We're making it happen.
You're going to get them tickets.
I'm going to get them tickets. Lord, you hear that? We're going to get them tickets.
Yes. Like, Lord, Buddha, what kind of ancestors, whoever need to hear.
What kind of ancestors? I love it. But yeah, so... Anyway, I need to stop talking about 10, because I could literally just talk the whole podcast about 10.
You really can, though. We probably talked about 10 for like around 2 hours one time. I swear to God, we probably spent 2 hours talking about 10 before.
Literally,
and, like, you just had to convince that, like, he was an undercover drag queen.
I just love him. Okay, anyway, Marisha, get off that topic.
You have to taste it.
Anyway, Lucas.
So you're okay. Just gonna skip over the same.
Nah, I have to stop talking about him, or else I'm just gonna literally spend the whole time talking about him.
Okay, alright, we'll stop right now. We'll stop here. Alright.
Okay. It's horrible. Alright, so Lucas. Okay, first of all, my boy, he came out in a cow jacket and I was living for every second of it. Out in the desert with his cow jacket. I was like, okay, but only Lucas can rock that.
Moo. Moo. Bitch, I'm too smooth. Ooh, my phone. Okay, I didn't feel good on my boobies bouncing.
I'm a cow. I'm a cow. He's everything.
I'm not a cat. I don't say meow.
But for real, he was doing it. I loved him. I know one of our friends is like currently dying at the moment because Lucas is one of her alts. So
who?
Alicia.
Oh, I didn't even know. I'm not even gonna lie. It was like I will pop up in the group chat, but like sometimes y'all be exchanging messages when I be going to sleep. So it's I gotta okay. Beat y'all for like 10 hours.
It's okay, Granny. It's okay, Granny. We know you go to sleep early.
It's like I'll be having to beat y'all while I'm asleep, but then like it's only for like 8 hours because like I'll be up by the time it turns back off.
Yeah, but even then, yeah, he was looking great. I wish I would have heard more lines from him because, like...
Yeah, me too. Because, like, Lucas is sickening. Like,
he had...
He quit playing with him.
He had a... They win-winned him, and that was a little... That was disrespectful. That was hardcore disrespectful. I mean, they didn't win-win him. They win-win him in 127. That's what they did. And that was disrespectful. Oh, yeah. Giving him the... We jopping. Get it. And that was Lucas. And like,
what?
I get it. It's okay. No, it's not okay. Give my boy the lines he deserves. But also, just him being there physically in that vicinity just added like 1,000% more fire. So, Lucas just being there is all you need, really.
Oh, you know what? I forgot, though. I watched a video, like, a couple weeks ago. This is not, like, you know, talking down on a person that made it, but, like, I was just, like, but, like, before, like, you know, they debuted, it was, like, you know, somebody made, like, a predictions on, like, what everybody's role would be in, like, the group. And I meant to, like, you know, write it down so I would have thought your opinion of would have been, but I totally forgot all about it. Like, I forgot who made it, but, like, it was a pretty interesting video on, like, you know, who would be, like, you know, the center, the main vocal, who would be maybe... I mean, they're all visuals, to
well,
be honest.
Well, the you thing is about nothing. This group in particular is that it can't function like a regular boy group. So, like, I watch those videos, and I'm like, oh, yeah, that makes sense. Like, Baekhyun and Taemin being main vocals, that makes sense that they would take those roles. But, I mean, this is an extraordinary group, so putting those traditional, like, boy group, girl group labels on people just doesn't fit. Because they're all major players in their original group, so I just find it stupid when we're like, oh, well, this person's gonna be this because, like, it's just, you're literally pitting gold against gold. That's stupid. So... But that's just my opinion.
No, I mean, like, but no, like, I mean, I was like, I don't know, I almost like kind of watched it, almost like kind of feel some way, but like, it wasn't like that bad of a video. It was just kind of like, but I mean, certain parts, like, you know, make sense. Like, you weren't really gonna hear Lucas be like too much of a vocal,
right?
Or, like, you know, it was kind of like, you know, one of those things. It wasn't just like those, you know, like bash old people, but like on like the members or whatever. That's not really what the video was intended for.
Yeah, and I don't assume it would be that way. I just think you can't really label them like normal group.
No, I really can't. But like, I was thinking about though, like, what should we call it? Because they had like a certain ranking on, like, you know, like I was like, they had like most, and it was like, you know, the top three, like, you know, certain.
Oh, the rankings for things. Yeah, I saw a lot of those ranking videos.
But I don't know. But when it came to like the dancing category, I don't know. How would you personally? I don't know if you might feel biased, but like, I mean, again, this is not like comparing nobody talents. Everybody is talented and beautiful in their own way. This ain't bashing nobody. We are just talking. This is just a disclaimer.
Who want to take this out of proportion? All right.
Yeah. So this ain't no bash nobody, comparing nothing. We just want to know. So like, I think like what the top three was, as far as like dancers go, I think they did like Taemin, Kai and Taeyong. Like, that was the top three. And it's just like, I know that, like, you know, you love Ten, but like, you know, Ten, he's like a whole different thing. So like, what would possibly, I don't know, because he thinks that they could all dance.
Okay.
But it's like, who would be like in a top three of like certain things?
Okay, so
like,
we go
as like dance, all vocal, right, and rapping.
So we're gonna ask, you're asking my opinion on these?
Yeah, like, what would be, like, the top people on, like, dance, vocal, and rapping?
Okay, for dance, for me, no question, I think Taemin is number one. There's Isaiah.
That's Tamir Jackson right there. Like, I was like, no, you got Tamir number one.
Like taking taking away bias, like nah, like Tamir cannot be touched. And then for number two, that's when it gets hard because of the fact that like I am biased toward Kai only because he has balletic training. And so when I see him do certain movements, I see that training within him, and it's really beautiful to see because not very many K-pop idols can do that, like, at all. So when I know there's a classically trained dancer in K-pop, I literally gravitate toward them as if they are a lamp and I am a moth. But then the difference is with 10 is like he's just an unreal dancer. Like, I don't know how he was created, probably in a laboratory, but it's just
that boy's an alien.
But there's just something about him. He has the qualities that I see in Taemin is what I see in 10, and it's scary. So it's like I personally would just pick Kai as 2 and then 10 as 3rd. Mm. And it's purely because I think Kai has more experience, so he's had more opportunities to try different styles of dance in his career so far. And 10 is still relatively newer in his career, so he'll have more time to experience and explore that. And who knows, in the future he may be higher or not. But yeah, that's how I would rank dance, which is really hard. I think dance is probably the hardest one. Vocally, I'm not...
Just wait. Mind me to cut y'all. Hold that thought. I just wanted to like a good break in the recording, because two things. My iPod's about to die. Y'all get a charger. And I drank a lot of water, so I gotta go pee. So we're just gonna stop our recordings right here, okay? We're gonna
take quick a quick pause. Break. Let's cool add like a little thing of like the do 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 do. All right, so where did we end? Okay.
Oh yeah, so
I'm on to vocally
and rap. So like, how would you rank them? Like
top three for vocal.
Top three for vocal and rap.
Okay, again, adding no bias. Baekhyun's number one for vocal. There's no question there. I know Baekhyun is my bias, but also taking that away, technique-wise, and just the range and diversity he has and adaptability he has, yeah, he's definitely number one. I would say Taemin is a close number two, purely because of all of the solo music I've heard him do, and also all of the shiny music, which is super diverse. Taemin has a beautiful voice that's developed over the years. And then definitely 10 is number three. 10 has a beautiful voice. He just doesn't get to showcase it a lot. He has started in Wavy, but his voice is very beautiful. It's just he hasn't had very much to do with it yet.
I was like, what was that one song that I really liked his voice? I think it was called Dream on a Dream. Is that what it's called? I really enjoyed his voice.
I'm saying, I just wanna come down from your love. We'll get lost together. Let me fall. Damn it! I'm doing it again. I'm getting stuck on 10.
No, I'm starting it though. It's not you. I keep starting it because you got me to like talking about 10.
I'm sorry.
And it's like, I can't help but bring up 10.
Extends to others.
I never realized how much of a 10 fan that I was until I started fucking around with you.
I make others be his fan.
Exactly.
That is a true fan. I am a true fan. I make others his fan. I mean, granted, I don't need to do that because he is wonderful enough as himself to make people his fan. I just encourage that push.
No, but I mean, eventually I was gonna have to be just for the longest time. I was so distracted by Taeyong. I was so distracted by him.
No, it's understandable. Honestly, I think when they were SM rookies, I saw Taeyong's like teaser, like his rap teaser, and I was like, oh, I'm in love with this beautiful man. And he's the first rapper in SM. Well, I mean, like, there's obviously been rappers in SM, but he was like the first, like, legit one. And so I was like, oof, we here for it. And then they started showing the dance videos. And I was introduced to 10. And I was like, well, My bias for Taeyong changed real quick. Not to say I don't love him anymore. I still love him. He's still one of my biases in NCT. But, Ten kind of skyrocketed his way into my heart and my ultimate bias list.
Yeah, see, like, with me, it was like, even though I was attracted by Taeyong, but it was like, I still didn't have a solid bias. Because it was just like, I was still exploring the group. And then once I I was doing the thing, like, I wanted to, like, you know, see what the other members were about. And then, like, I know I saw Johnny, and I was like, he's from Chicago. I was like, oh, a Chicago dude. I don't know, for some reason, when I see, like, all those, that they from Chicago, I instantly support them. And it wasn't even, like, a crush yet. Or, like, you know, like, or, like, that type of love that I have for him now, that, like, he is my husband. It was kind of like, okay, that's my boy right there. You represent for the city, man. You better come through. And then, like, the more, like, you know, videos that I watched, and it was just like, wait, do I love this man? Like, oh my god. I do.
No, but it's interesting that Taeyong tends to be everybody's common point in NCT. Like, either he was your first bias, he is your bias, or he's the reason you got into NCT. There is literally no in between.
It was the Taeyong silver is the hair gateway. In the seventh sense.
Taeyong is the gateway. So, yeah. Okay, so that's vocally, and then rap-wise,
Mark.
This one's hard. Like,
Mark in that thing bitch is me. Mark is in that top three for me. I don't know what number, but Mark is in that top three.
Like, obviously.
Yeah.
But it's just, as far as number one goes, because, like, Lucas is a strong number three. He's strong. I think as time goes on and he gets more confident and gets more opportunities to rap, he's gonna get a lot better.
Yeah.
I think right behind him, like, in fourth place would be 10. And then in fifth place would be, wait a second, what did I just say? Yeah, fifth place would be
Kai? Maybe? I don't know. Cause Kai, I don't know.
I genuinely like Kai's singing voice than I do his rapping voice. Like, I think Kai is a really pretty voice.
Yeah, he does.
Like, here my, like, I, like, whenever I hear EXO songs, it's always him and Chanyeol that I'm always looking forward to hearing singing. Mm. Like, whenever I get, I'm like, ooh, that's a Chanyeol vocal. I'm like, ooh, that's a Kai vocal. Like, it takes my breath away. So I prefer Kai singing over everything. But I would think fifth would be Baekhyun. Like, especially after what he's been doing in EXO-CBX, I was like, my boy can do some stuff. But anyway, top one and two is always a battle for me because it's like, I personally gravitate toward rappers like Mark. Because he has, like, this lazy style to him. It's, like, it's a sexy lazy style, which I'm really a big fan of. But Taeyong literally sounds, if a dog could rap, that's it. That's what he is. And I'm here for it. And I love it. It's just so gruff and animalistic when he raps. And I'm just like, ugh.
Yeah, because imagine, a lot of people's first experience, like, especially if they listen to Limitless. And it's like, from the bottom
like, yes, we love a vocal glottal. But I just, yeah, that's my biggest thing. I'm just like, Taeyong's uniqueness is what makes me love him so much when he raps. But Mark Hardcore has some real good skill. Like, some real good skill as a rapper. And he's, like, him and Taeyong are really good lyricists. I personally would say Mark is first, but Taeyong is like a centimeter below first at second. But yeah, that would be my ranking. As far as the things that people have been saying in response to this debut, because like beforehand it was like, disband this group, nobody wants it, nobody asked for this, this is a cash grab by SM, all that fun stuff. And now that they've actually debuted, the responses have kind of changed in a weird way. So, like, obviously the title track is always going to be polarizing, especially from an SM artist.
Mm-hmm.
Not everybody's going to like the title track. That's just a given.
Yeah.
Regardless if you like the group or not, not everybody's going to like it. I personally love it, but again, I'm into that cinematic movie score feel. Not everybody's into that. It's not easy listening. It's just, it's a hype listening. Like, you about to, I'm like, hold up, let me go and get my Spider-Man costume on. Like, that is that hype thing. And not everybody's gonna be here for it. So it's a lot of mixed responses. Some people love it, some people hate it. It is what it is. That's just how a title track is gonna be for most people. As far as other responses I've been seeing, it's like, I don't know where this whole elitist idea of if the group, like people feeling like the group, because it's inorganic, the conception of it is inorganic, then that makes the members' bonds less, not less significant, but less genuine than other groups. And that frustrates me because I'm like, okay, first of all, every single K-pop group that has ever been made was not organic. Like, they were all in some type of K-pop company, and they were picked and chosen to be in a group.
Exactly. It's just like, it's our situation. Like, you just be in this group with some random motherfuckers, and then eventually you just make a bond, but they're all going to be strangers to you at first. So it's like,
because it's like, it's one of those things where you're like, okay, well, these are my coworkers, and the only way for me to get to my dream is to work with them well. Mm-hmm. So then you form that bond. Sometimes you might find somebody like, yo, we cool as hell, and then other times you're like, I'm not really feeling this person, but I have to deal with them because it's a part of the job.
Yeah.
And I mean, I think one group that is extremely transparent about that fact is Super Junior. They have mentioned multiple times that a lot of them just genuinely did not like each other's personalities. And they were completely honest about it. But they're like, but we're coworkers and we're going to get along because we need to. I think it was Siwon and Ryuk. They mentioned how, like, their personalities just bump all the time. But they're coworkers and they worked with each other for so long that they've just dealt with it and known how to deal with the other person's personality. Mm-hmm. And it's like, you're not going to like everybody that's in your group. But it's not to say that Super M is like that. Because one thing that's really interesting about SM Town in general is that the groups in the company have a lot of opportunities to work with each other now. Mm-hmm. And they've always had times to work with each other. So it's like, especially with SM Town concerts, like we mentioned earlier with the FX reunion, well, miniature reunion. Yeah. It's like, they have opportunities to collab. Like, that's where Baekhyun did UN Village, but he collabed with Mark on it, and Mark did a rap at the concert. Mm-hmm. And like, or like when NCT Dream had their little moment a couple years ago, and then, well, a year ago, and then our boy Lucas got to be in it. And so I'm like, SM has a lot of, their artists always collab all the time, so I'm pretty sure there's some form of camaraderie between the artists that are in the same groups.
Exactly.
So I'm like, for people to be all in their feelings like, oh, this group feels, it's inorganic, so I just don't see there's a real bond between them. It's not organic like other groups. And I'm like, honey, how long have you been listening to K-pop? How much do you know how K-pop groups are created? Like, honey, all of it is inorganic.
Exactly. And like, I'll bring up like a good example. Like, you know, again, I love BTS, but it's like, you gotta think about like their early stories, like, you know, when they first got together. Even though they have an extreme, like, you know, really good brotherhood, like, you know, bond now. But like, mm-hmm. you know, okay, like for what I watched, it was like, I believe it was like on like Burn the Stage, when it was just like, when they started out, Cookie was kind of known to be like a little bit selfish. And I forgot what situation was. I just remember, like, at one point, he got to fight one of the members over a banana. I forgot. That could be wrong. But, like, I think there was a pain situation over a banana. And so, like, it just takes time to grow. You got to get used to people. And it's just, like, as you get older, like, you know, if you be around these people for, like, long enough, you know how to handle each other. And it's just like, you mm-hmm. know, like Cook is like an example, like, you know, he grew, and it's just like, you know, he had like, you know, his youngs, like, you know, like, you know, I mean, everybody had like, you know, their own flaws and all this stuff, but it's like, it's just like the prime example, like, you know, it takes people time to grow. And it's just like, it's always going to seem like, you know, inorganic at first. Like, you just gotta give them time. How are you just gonna automatically assume? Especially since they're practically all friends. Like, anyway.
Yeah. Because it's very interesting, too, because I was just like, I've seen a lot of people argue about that, too. They're like, I just don't see the connection between them yet. And I'm like, first of all, Taemin and Kai have been friends since trainee days. Like, they besties. We all know that. Mm-hmm. And then Baekhyun and Kai have been in EXO together for 8+ years. Mm-hmm. Then we have the NCT boys that most of them have been together since 2013, take away Lucas, who came in like 2017 or something.
Yeah, and a decent amount of them are cool with the EXO people.
Exactly. And that's what I'm like, and then also like Taemin kind of adopted Ten after hit the stage in 2016. So it's like, it's not like they don't all have some type of connection. And then also with that, a lot of them mentioned how they wanted to get closer to certain people in the group.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm just like, I mean, again, even with rookie groups, it takes them time to find a vibe with each other.
Uh-huh.
And Super M is essentially a rookie group. But the difference is that they're from established popular group stuff. It's just they haven't worked together closely before. And it's just going to take them some time. Like, I'm thinking, like, they're going to be on the road for the next couple of months. They're going to be promoting this music together on all these shows and everything. I'm pretty sure they're going to build a camaraderie that way. From what I'm seeing in their interviews and stuff like that, it looks genuine. It looks like they genuinely like each other. Like, they're genuinely having fun. I think that kind of helps that we have Baekhyun as the leader, because Baekhyun kind of like eases the tension in most situations. And
oh, I thought Taemin was the leader.
Nope, it's Baek.
Oh, okay. I didn't know. I guess I assumed because
they
like,
decided,
you know,
on Baek.
Taemin Jackson.
So and I still. No, me too. But you know what? They chose who they chose, and I'm here for it. But also at the same time, Baekhyun as a leader is the weirdest idea to me. Anyways.
As much as you love him, this is like, nah, this is weird.
Nah, this weird. But I mean, like, even then, it's just like, yeah, it's just gonna take some time for them to feel more open and more relaxed with each other. They're still getting to know each other. I mean, most of them have been aware of each other because obviously they're in the same company. They've had collabs together before, so...
Yeah,
this is their first time closely working together.
Yeah, it's kind of funny because you would think, oh wait, my bad. It's kind of funny, like, you know, Taemin's like, because you would think that, like, you know, he's fine, he's actually in the group, that he's not the freaking Maknae.
The funny thing is, he was talking about how he was happy he was the second oldest, because he was like, I don't have to be the oldest, so I don't have to be in charge of everybody, but I'm the second oldest, so I'm still younger than somebody.
Baekhyun older than Taemin?
Yeah.
I did not know that.
Ain't that weird? No one believes it.
Because I be thinking, like, you know, like, I don't know. Because, like, I don't know. I guess I got to think about the timelines, like, you know, when Shiny versus, like, you know.
Well, Taemin also debuted when he was extremely young.
Oh, okay. Gotcha. Yeah.
He was really young when he debuted. And I think, like, Baek debuted when he was 20. So there's a major difference there.
It is.
So even then, I'm just like, yeah. So I think that argument of like it's an inorganic conception is just dumb. And I feel like people are just missing. They're reaching for things. Mm. As far as the whole money grab argument, again, we kind of shut that down last time where I'm like, what company isn't doing this for money?
Exactly.
But
like, no company would be doing this K-pop shit in the first place if it wasn't for the money. Like,
exactly. But also, even then, I'm just like, okay, first of all, this is a collab between SM and Capitol Records. And for all the people out there making this money grab argument on SM's part, because, like, everybody likes to pick on SM. Like, they ain't the greatest company. I'm not a huge fan of most of the stuff they do. But also, at the same time, I feel like a lot of people just want to throw stones at SM for everything. And I'm like, first of all, Capitol Records are the ones that initiated this idea.
I did not know that one.
Yeah. They wanted to, because they were already working with SM for 127, And then they had suggested the idea of creating a super group. It's a collaboration. It ain't all SM, yo. And so I'm like, this ain't necessarily a money grab. Like, I'm gonna get into it a little bit in a little bit, but it's more so an experiment for the international marketing, music marketing scene. But a lot of people aren't seeing it like that, especially basic. Well, I don't want to call people basic. That's kind of mean. But especially like regular K-pop fans, like they wouldn't see that business side of it. They just see the surface level. Mm-hmm. So yeah, that whole money grab argument, again, I kind of throw away because I'm just like, that's an ignorant argument. Like, again, one company ain't doing it for the money. But yeah, I think from what it seems like right now is that they're pretty, they doing the thing. They're trending all over Twitter. They're trending on YouTubes all over the world. Hitting number ones on all the iTunes charts around the world. So it looks like the anticipation was there. People were excited about it. And it looks like they're getting hype. And that's nice. I mean, especially after seeing all those horrible hashtags after the initial announcement. It's kind of nice to see that they're getting some love, even if people are mixed on the song or whatever. At least the fact that they're getting some love around the world, like, it's still a hyped debut. Because no matter how much everybody wanted to talk shit, like, you were still waiting for it.
Yeah, we wanna know what's surprising? I have not been on Twitter since this video came out. I have not been on Twitter once today.
Dude, the moment the video dropped, it turned to number one in the U.S.
Oh, it did?
Yeah.
Yes.
Well, I mean, the in Twitter. Like the trending? Hashtag SuperM was trending on Twitter.
Well, I mean, I was checking iTunes.
And worldwide.
But yeah, but like, I actually was checking iTunes like about like 5 minutes ago. And it's number four music video on iTunes right now.
Ayy.
Yeah, so like, it's there.
That marketing is paying off.
Yeah, and not just like in the K-pop charts in general, like number four.
So one thing I wanted to ask is, what could this mean for the future of Western and Eastern marketing collaborations? Because as I alluded to earlier, this is a collaboration between Capitol Records and SM Entertainment, which is Capitol Records based here in the U.S. and then obviously SM Entertainment based in Seoul, South Korea. It's like they're coming together and kind of bridging the gap because we know that the K-pop industry is blown up over the last couple of years, especially internationally over here in the West. And as we've been seeing here, like, because me as a music business student, I have to study all these trends and everything. Because I'm currently in current events is one of my last classes before I graduate. And what we're seeing in the music business industry over here in the U.S. is a lot of decline in certain areas. Like, around the world, everybody's seeing declines in CDs. And then also, like, there's a whole bunch of situations with streaming where we're dealing with major labels, dealing with indie artists, and fighting off trying to continue to keep their major hold on their shares in those areas. And so it's like there's a lot of trends and breaking of the original status quo over here in the U.S. right now. And so we're on like a weird shaky ground of where people are discovering new things and seeing what can work and how we can go to the next level in this music business over here. And I think what was really interesting was the fact that they decided to collab because obviously K-pop is blowing up, but in the U.S. that's not, like, music based in the U.S. isn't really expanding anymore than it normally does. Like, we're kind of at a plateau. Like, obviously our artists are popular internationally, but we're kind of at like a plateau right now where like we're not really doing anything exceptionally. We're not on an exceptional growth right now.
I feel like the main people that are like everywhere right now is like Camila Cabello and Migos. I don't know. That's what I feel like. I mean, not Migos, Bob.
But yeah.
It's like, you know, kind of like one of those typical things. It's just like, I don't know. We're kind of boring right now.
Yeah. Yeah. Like our mainstream music right now is pretty, like we're on a plateau at the moment. But with this, like, entrance of K-pop becoming so huge over here and even with the idea of, like, with K-pop having such huge fandoms that are hugely dedicated, that will buy merchandise, that will wholeheartedly go to all of these concerts, spend as much as they need to support their artists, it's something that we've been kind of losing over here in the U.S. in recent years. And to gain that back, I think that's one thing that Capitol Records can learn from SM, is that finding that fan culture, getting those dedicated fans again, because everybody knows over here in the U.S., it's not really streaming, it's not really, like, CDs that make you money. It's touring and merchandise that make you money.
Exactly.
Which is why all the artists here tour so freaking much, because that's where you make the bank. Mm-hmm. And so, like...
And we will be there,
but
too.
But with K-pop...
We will buy all the shit.
Exactly.
We will attend everything.
But the thing is with K-pop is that not only do fans attend the concerts and buy the merchandise, but they're also buying CDs. They're also buying everything else associated. They're also watching the music videos constantly, keeping the streaming up hardcore. Like, we're seeing that those trends are skyrocketing in the K-pop realm, but it's not really doing so over here. So it's like, those are things we can learn, but then also things that the K-pop realm can learn is how you can market with not having certain outlets. Like, for example, with K-pop, the way they promote their music is like, we're going to go on a music show every week. We're going to go on a variety show or two. And that's how they get their music circulated, especially in, like, Korea and in Asia over there. But then that's different over here in the West. We don't do it like that. Which is, like, if they want to expand beyond Asia, they have to look at other outlets. Like, yes, you have to go on talk shows. Yes, you have to, you can't just, you're not going to have as many opportunities to promote your music unless you're going to live festivals, because that's one thing we do in the U.S. You go to festivals to promote your music. And so, and then not only that, you also have to do a lot of online marketing. Like, and so it's really interesting seeing that collaboration between the two, because what we've been seeing is, like the pre-releasing track, which is common in a lot of Western artists. Before they drop the album, they give a pre-release song or a couple pre-release singles, and then the album drops a few months later. And then in K-pop, that's not as common. Every once in a while, a group will drop a pre-release song before a full-length album. But also in K-pop, they do mini albums more often than full-length albums, so you don't see that very... That's not common.
Yeah, as far as K-pop, when you say, like, it does really happen, it's often... What can I honestly recall when, like, a song came out for the album, to be honest? As far as, like, what I witnessed, Superhuman by NCT, because, like, it was already being, like, you know, performed, like, you know,
circulated
here in the U.S. Like, you know, we pretty much got the idea of, like, the song and all that stuff, so... Even though, like, it technically wasn't a release, but it was kind of, like, as far as, like, you know, the U.S. fans go, like, since they performed it before it came out. So, I guess, like, you know, just to get, like, you know, the buzz out there, that's the only time I can really recall when it's, like, even though technically it wasn't released, but it's, like, we knew the song before the album came out.
But also, the thing is about that is, by that time, 127 was under Capitol Records, so they were already under a U.S. label. That was probably their idea of what they should do.
More than likely.
And I mean, again, that's like, it's something you don't really see often in K-pop, but it worked. It got us hype. We were ready for it.
Yeah, to be honest, though, I kind of prefer, like, the process where it's just, like, the song and album will come out, like, all together, because it's kind of like the only thing sometimes I kind of like is just because it kind of happened to me a couple times, especially last year, when it's just like, okay, like, this is building up, and, like, I'm ready for whatever artist, like, you know, out here I'm listening to come with this album, and then it kind of just makes it kind of sad, because it's kind of like, okay, all this anticipation, and it's kind of like not what I thought it was. And I'll give a prime example. The Bars Better Not Come at Me, because I love Nicki Minaj, but I'm never gonna lie to you, I was kind of sad with Queen. It was, like, kind of like a prime example, because, like, you know, when she came up with, like, you know, with Chung Lee, And like, you know, in Barbie teens, I was like, okay, like, this is some old Nicki Minaj, like, you know, about to come back. Like, what are we about to expect? Like Nicki really about to, like, bring it back and come back hard. That's what I was anticipating. And it's like, granted, I mean, I listened to, like, you know, a decent amount of songs on there, but it was just kind of like, the songs didn't really fully live up to, like, you know, for her to call it queen. And it's like, I feel like those songs didn't really live up to it. And it's just like, even though, like, I wasn't a big Nicki Minaj, like, you know, listener, like, you know, back then, I was damn near a hater when she first came out. But, like, once I stopped being a hater, like, I finally listened to her stuff, it's just kind of like, what was it like? It's just a, like, not too much goes harder than what she did with Pink Friday. Like, that was honestly, like, that album for me, because that was the album that made me, like, you know, turn me to Nicki Minaj fan. And it's like, you know, okay, like, I'm here for you now. Like, I need to still be well fed. But it's like, it's kind of one of those things, like, you know, that the fact that she was on a serious hiatus, and, like, you know, then she, like, you know, then she comes back with, like, you know, these two hard hitting songs, and then we're just waiting and waiting, and then it comes out, and I'm like, I mean, this is cool, but it just wasn't what I was really, it didn't really, like, meet that much of my expectations.
I mean, you're right. I feel like as K-pop fans, we've been spoiled in that way.
We really have.
So we're used to the idea of, we get all these picture teasers, we get a teaser for a music video, and then the album and the music video drop simultaneously. Before I got into K-pop, that was never a thing. I was used to, there's a couple singles that come out, and the few singles that come out over a couple of months period lead up to an album that drops. So it's like, it's interesting, because when Capitol Records did that for 127, it was me seeing what they did, what I used to be used to. Mm-hmm. And I was like, and then I caught on to the fact that I'm like, oh, I'm spoiled now. I'm used to having both drop at the same time. I don't know how to wait anymore.
Yeah, I really don't either. I really don't.
I don't know how to anticipate anything anymore, because I'm just, my anticipation levels go between 2 weeks before the album's supposed to drop, and that's it. Mm-hmm. Anything longer than that, I can't handle.
Yeah.
And it's interesting, because I never used to be that way.
Exactly. It like, because, like, recently, like, you know, I've been so obsessed, like, you know, with the rapper Doja Cat, and, like, you know, she did a couple, like, you know, great interviews, like, you know, she's about to come up with something, and it's like, you know, yeah, she's putting, like, you know, a song out, like, you know, here and there, and like, whatchamacallit, and she's just like, you know, oh, it's gonna come out in, like, I guess December or January or some shit like that. I forgot what she said, but I'm like, oh my god, that is so fucking long. What are you doing? Like, release it now, you coward.
Like, I'm just, no, like, but it's like, yeah, so it's fine. Like, why announce it to me now when I won't get it for a few months?
Exactly.
And so, like, and that's why I was, like, a little nervous when they announced Super M back in July, because I was like, well, July, early August, because I was like, dude, you're saying it's coming out in October. Like, even though it was only 2 months away, I was still like, oh my god, this is so long to wait.
You know, and it was so funny, because I was still thinking it was fake for like a month. I thought the whole thing was fake. I thought it was a whole rumor. I didn't believe it until they made an Instagram. I did not believe it until they made an Instagram. I thought this shit was going to be fake. I thought people was trolling for like the longest. I'm like, okay, y'all really keeping this up. Then there was an official Instagram. I was like, oh shit. Mm-hmm. I was like, oh no.
Yeah.
It's real.
No, but I mean, I think this is what is exciting about this collaboration between East and West, because it's like, what ended up happening is that they dropped, in like late August, they dropped the I Can't Stand the Rain instrumental. So that was our first real tease. And then literally all of September was just straight teasers. And oh, so, yeah. Like, that was really interesting, because it's like, we got the pre-release that is known in the Western world that people do. And then we got the teasers, like the multiple teasers, high production, They sometimes tease what the music's gonna sound like. Sometimes they are just completely off from what the music's gonna sound like on the album. And that's very K-pop. And so it was like, and it was really interesting to see their product, like their promotion cycle for this debut. Because it was like, it was literally the melding of two different cultures into doing a marketing strategy. And it was so cool. Like, especially the one thing that I found the most amazing was like the text message one, where it's like they gave out a phone number and they're like, you can text us, and then you get like the notifications.
But wait, did you text them for real? I forgot to text them. I was scared.
But it works. And it was really interesting because I'm like, okay, whenever something would come up, they would let us know immediately. And I'm just like, that's a cool way to get engaged with your fan community. And I wouldn't have thought about that. So that's one thing that's interesting, is because it's like they're taking tricks that are known to work in the Western world, tricks that are known to work in the Eastern world, and then they're also like creating new stuff. Like, I don't know if I've known there's been text message communication before. Like, I remember Soulja Boy did it back in the day, where he literally kissed me the phone. Yeah, like, I remember that. But,
and also, I saw about Mike Jones, and he was like, 281-33-8005.
But yeah, and then, but not only that, they did a lot of lives, and tried to get in communication with the fans a lot more, even before the debut, to reassure a lot of us. It was really interesting seeing, I think my biggest thing that I found the coolest was the merchandise itself.
Oh yeah, that like hot, that like moving like Lucas t-shirt.
Yeah, the AR t-shirts. Because like obviously me being the stan of literally everybody in this group, I was going to get the album and the merchandise anyway.
Oh, I got the album delivered today, by the way. I just can't get it till tomorrow.
Oh,
but it got delivered today because I pre-ordered it on Amazon Prime.
I pre-ordered mine too. I don't know when mine comes in. I'm assuming it's coming in tomorrow too. But yeah, I think that was so cool how like they're going to have an app, and when you have the shirt, you can literally use it. Mm-hmm. Like those new ideas too. Like, it's so interesting to me. I'm really excited about it. Oh, one thing I forgot to mention in the music video, where they did that whole little Spider-Man moment where they're like, they had the drones making the Colosseum, and then at the very end, the drones went away. And I was like, oh, this, that Spider-Man Far From Home stuff.
Oh, yeah. That like illusion stuff and all that. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I was like, oh, that's cool. That's cool. Like, I mean, the stadium looks CGI as fuck. Mm-hmm. But I mean, like,
but I mean, I was like, look, this how you know how the center was going to be like anyway.
Exactly. But I was just like, it was so cool to me, though. I was just like, ooh, Spider-Man reference. But yeah, so that was like really cool. It's just really interesting to see that melding of the two cultures come together marketing wise to make this major debut happen. And I think that's what's really interesting about this. And so that's why I was, one thing that I was like thinking of is like, it's probably going to make US fans and or Western fans in general a lot more passionate about the American music market. Because if this goes over successfully, I don't know if they would do something similar to it again, but they'll know the steps they can do to create something similar. And so we might see the US market and a lot of American-based artists try these similar strategies, and we might get a boost in our music marketing again. Like, we might actually, like, I might be actually really excited for mainstream American pop music again. And that would be really cool. And so I think that's one thing that makes me really excited. We might even get photo book packaging for actual American artists again, instead of just those flimsy little closed case ones. Like, we might actually get legit packaging again.
You know, I really had to think about it, because I do remember, like, up in, like, the CDs, there used to be, like, you know, like, the little booklets where, like, you could be able to look through, like, that was, like, you know, that was kind of a version of a little photo book. I was thinking about, like, B5 and, like, how, like, their albums was. Because I'm like, that's kind of like how it was for me early on. Like, I mean, granted, it had like lyrics up in there too, but it was like, there was still a couple photos. So it was just like, yeah, I just thought about like, you know, 7-8-year-old me just looking through my B5 albums.
We might actually get packaging that I actually care about and actually would want to purchase. This could be a possible, it might be possible to boost the CD purchases again. It might be possible. I mean, granted, obviously people are more inclined to digital, but I mean, the reason why K-pop fans buy the photo books and the physical albums because you get a photo book of all these cool concept photos.
Exactly. And like, and there's also other cool stuff in it too. Posters. And then like, and then also, well, for example, like, you know, when you get like a BTS poster, like there's like a little, QR code that like you scan and you do like a quick survey, you get points on your BTS fan account.
Yep. And then also you get, cute little photo cards that everybody likes to collect.
Yes.
So, again, it's something that we could bring back over here that we can learn from them, and then they can take some stuff from us.
We need a Bruno Mars light stick.
Oh my god, please don't bring that up right now. I love him. I would cry. Genuinely, can we please bring light sticks over here to America? I would love to have a Bruno Mars light stick.
Oh yeah, but then like if like this actually happened, you know, like all the a lot of K-pop stars would be like, y'all just trying to copy K-pop, like y'all just trying to do this like for money and all that stuff, like da da da.
Oh my god, like I said earlier, we are so tired of those regular fans that always want to talk about money grabs. We don't acknowledge them. Anyway, so again, so do we think that Super M was successful? Like, this is a successful debut. I mean, it's only like the first day or two, but and then also like tomorrow they're having their live stream showcase, so we're really gonna see what they look like together, which I'm really excited about, which I'm highly anticipating. Yeah, I think it starts 9 p.m. our time, so I'm really excited about that.
Oh, 9 p.m. okay, I'll be home from work by then.
I see this as a successful debut. I think they've done well. Within the next few weeks or so, we're going to see for sure if it's truly successful. But I think if this goes over as well as I want it to go, especially after seeing, I think after we see the ticket sales, because that goes on early in the morning tomorrow, and then after we see the live streaming numbers for the showcase on YouTube, and then after we see their because I know they're going to Ellen and they're making a couple appearances at Barnes and Nobles in the California area, so after we see that within the next few weeks or so, we'll get a full picture of whether or not this collaboration was successful. But I think this is something, if this goes over really well, I think other companies, not just Korean and not just American based, but a lot of different companies trying to market artists can learn from this. They can learn a lot from this debut. That's why I'm like really excited about this debut. Like, this whole We Are the Future tag is very befitting because it's something that hasn't been done before, and it's really interesting to see what becomes of it. I'm really excited about it, especially for like current K-pop artists that are trying to promote over here in the US. Those companies that are currently promoting them can learn a hell of a lot. Throwing shade at the company representing Monsta X, you can do better. Just saying, you can do
really
way better.
I just need them to start doing stuff in French Montana. Like, like they're making good songs, but just with the wrong people. I'm so pressed. Okay, like because like I was cool with like you know the song and everything. Like you know Who You Love, that song is a bop, and it's like French was cool. I was really mad because it was like when they went to perform, what was it like on Jimmy Kimmel, and That motherfucker, French Montana, literally went on stage and forgot his fucking verse. And it's like, bro, you only did 16 bars. You had one freaking job. It's not hard to remember 16 freaking bars. Like, what the hell is you doing? Like, he was probably just, I think he was up there just high as hell. I think that's what the hell it was.
He was just
not giving a shit.
It's just blatant disrespect. But I think that, again, after this debut, we might see way more respect for these international artists coming over to the U.S. Hopefully. I hope this makes a huge change.
Oh, and also that clip when, like, they messed up, like, you know, Monsta X's, like, you know, recordings. And, like, because they just changed the song, like, out of nowhere. Because it was Dance of Who You Love. And I think it randomly switched to Shoot Out. But, like, as professional as they are, they switched it over. They were just like, all right. Like, they went with the flow. Mm-hmm. They were professional, but they still didn't deserve that shit.
I think that's another thing that these companies or these promoters just need to recognize. These are professional artists. They aren't just kids. These people do it for a living. They are actual artists, just like every other artist you invite on your shows. Just because they come from a different country changes nothing about their professionalism and their artistry. It's again, I'm not going to go on a major rant about it, but I feel like these companies can learn a lot if this debut is successful. Because what I've been seeing from Capitol Records, they have been treating NCT 127 really well. They have been promoting them really well. And they've been making sure their name gets out there really well. So, I mean, from what I've seen in the last year and a half, I trust Capitol Records. And so, for them to do this collab with SM for Super M, I trust this. I trust that this will go over well. And I trust that they will take care of the boys. And I trust they will make sure their health is okay. Because, like, again, a lot of us K-pop fans know how SM be sometimes, and we don't completely trust SM, but I have a lot more faith in Capitol Records because I haven't seen them done nothing dirty at the moment. So, I trust that this will go over well. But, again, if this debut is very successful, or even moderately successful, these companies trying to promote these K-pop groups and or start groups of their own, and or promote their current catalog of artists or new artists coming into their company, they can learn a lot. And we might see a little shift in the international music game just from this alone, which is really exciting. Like, it's not that... It's one thing, because I know a lot of people are just like, the biggest argument is like, oh, SM's doing this because they want to replicate BTS's success. And I personally have this idea of BTS's success really can't be replicated, but it doesn't mean that it can't be expanded upon. Like, every person sets a path so that someone else can walk it later and then continue to expand that path. Like, it's no one lays down a road just for no one to walk on it, no one to ride on it. You lay down that road so that people can travel on it.
Yeah, and it's kind of like, the road could just be said as like, yeah, you can walk on it for a little bit. It's just that eventually you just gotta, like, you know, get off it and just make your own path off of it.
Right.
So it's like, it's a good starting point. But it's like, you know, they can still
branch off
by eventually getting to their own lane. Like, it is possible, but it's just like, but the only thing that makes me mad about, you know, Western media is just like, you know, because since we still have, like, no ignorance, we have a whole bunch of ignorance people out here. It's just like, they really are trying to do their own thing. Like, you know, like, they're trying to make it, like, on their own, their way. But it's like, everything always has to, like, you know, lead back to, like, you know, like, BTS and all that stuff. And it's just like, especially, like, you know, when it comes to...
But they're like that with everybody, though. Like, even with female entertainers.
Yeah, they really are, though. Because it's like, kind of like, even with female rappers, it's just like, I mean, some of the new girls coming out, they bring up Nicki Minaj. Or, you know, Nicki Minaj came out, they gotta bring up Lil Kim. And so, like, and it's like, you know, so on, you know, so forth.
So it's like, it's, that's just our media in general. We always have to compare someone to someone else for reference, when in actuality, what we really need to do is look at someone for their own merits instead of trying to compare all the time.
Oh, and also like, but that's just our media. Beyonce, also,
but again, that's too. Literally just our media. That's how we our media works. But
yeah,
again, back to my point, it's just I feel like people always want to argue that whenever a K-pop group does anything over here in the U.S. or whenever a K-pop group tries to try something new, especially within the last few years, everyone wants to try to compare it to BTS and what they've done, and or they want to be like, oh, they paved the way, blah, blah, blah. And I'm just like, yo, guys, we really need to jump off that horse at this point, because it's like, we get it. They've done amazing things. No one is discrediting their success and them getting to that success. But at this point, you need to recognize that other people are also artists, and they also deserve the opportunity to set and create their own paths. And just because it's slightly easier now because someone else went so far does not take away from that person's successes that they have created on their own. So.
Exactly.
And so I'm excited for where this is going to go from now on. I just hope for nothing but the best for my boys of Super M. And yeah, any final thoughts for you?
I don't know. You pretty much took all the words out of my mouth. It's like, it's just, I basically just gonna repeat a lot of things that you just said. So I'm good on my end. You kind of just said basically all my thoughts. So I got nothing. You said everything.
I'm sorry.
I'm gonna sound real repetitive, but I am here for Super M.
Yes.
Like even though like as far as like my first impression, I mean again, I still got to listen to it a couple more times. Like really get a feel of it to have like a full on opinion. But so far. Like, you know, it's cool. So, like, I hopefully, like, you know, I mean, of course, like, you know, this ain't gonna be something that's gonna be, like, you know, consistent for a while. But it's like, you know, hopefully, you know, the next time, like, you know, they do something together after all this, especially with this random mass tour that they decided to do. like, I hope they do more together. It'll be nice. I still want, even though they did, like, do a performance video, but I want more. To attainment. Kai and Ten Ho anthem. I just need something.
Baby Don't Stop 2.0.
Baby Don't Stop mixed with Move. Mixed Stop. With Confession.
Stop. Okay,
like I'm so obsessed with Confession right now. You don't understand.
Stop
but
it.
I need that. That one dance move. He was like, time for Confession. Oh,
the world ain't ready.
With the hips. Like that Kai, that man, that boy has so much control over his body. It's just a beautiful thing. Like, it's torture watching him because he just does so much, but I love it. Mm-hmm. I love suffering watching him.
Honestly, with Super M, it's one of the, like, for real, if, I know a lot of people are scared that them being in this band is gonna deter them from being in their original bands, but again, SM and the boys have reiterated that that's not a thing, so I'm just excited for when we'll be able to get more content from them, because it's really, it's a cool idea. I really like it. I like them being together. I want to see more of them together. And then it can also be an encouragement for a female supergroup, and I'd be here for it.
And also, I'm just honestly kind of worried about Mark. That boy gonna be busy because he gotta be in Chicago for the Super M thing, but then he gotta come back for the Jingle Bash the next month.
I mean, not just him, Taeyong too, but also...
Oh yeah, Taeyong too. I keep forgetting. Oh,
but also, yeah. Kai and Beck are still on their world tour, so...
Oh yeah, they are. See, look, they are already doing a lot. See,
pray
look.
For our boys. We're just gonna pray for our boys. For all of them to be in good health. I'm gonna pray for that.
Mm-hmm.
And pray for their success, because this can mean some big things for the music industry, and I'm here for it. Because then this is going to be a music industry I'm ready to dive into in January. Alrighty, y'all. So that was our thoughts on Super M. An extra long one, because we had a lot of thoughts.
Yeah, we really did.
A follow-up.
Yeah, we keep on trying to avoid talking about 10, because I'm telling you, y'all, we could talk about 10 for like...
And then you just gonna go ahead and bring him back up, huh? Mm-hmm.
See, this I can't the help it. I can't help it.
It's the problem. This way, I can never not talk about him because she always brings him up.
Because you did this to me. You did this to me.
No, I didn't. He did. 10 did it.
But still though, like,
all right.
I was living a wholesome life. I mean, not really, but still though, I like to think I was living a wholesome life, and then this boy had to show up.
A gift from God.
And just mess my life up.
All right, guys. Well, thank you for joining us on episode 3 of MBS. Well, I guess we can call it MBS Soul Food Podcast. It's like soul, soul food. Yeah, that's our new tagline. MBS Soul, Soul Food.
You know, you just said soul like 3 times.
I know. Because of the that's S, why I love soul, it. Soul. And you're like, MBS Soul, Soul Food.
Just gonna be like MBSSSS
soul to infinity and beyond.
Was the social medis? I am Janae Vera. That is JanayVera on every platform that you could find. I am so easy to find.
Honestly,
everywhere is on everything. Nothing changes. Stays the same. Same by time. Same by station.
Oh my goodness. On Twitter, what am I? Janae, you know mine, right?
Either Risha underscore DC 1996 or Risha DC underscore 96.
I think it's the second one. It's RISHADC underscore 96. Y'all, I don't use my Twitter enough to actually know what it is. But please know that I am trying and I'm getting better at knowing. And also, big surprise. We opened up an Instagram.
Oh, yes. And what is our Instagram?
It is
what was the username?
At mindbodysoula. So, Seoul, like Seoul, South Korea. So, S-E-O-U-L. And then it's just mindbodysoul, no space in between. A. It stands for mind.
As arts.
Yep, it's arts. Because it's going to be including our dance stuff. When people post fan art. All that's going to be on our Instagram, so check that out. And we're also going to post little clips of our podcast on there, too. So get hype. Follow us on those things.
Yeah, get mother effing hype up in this bit. Yeah.
Oh, my God. Okay, so that was a little soul food for the soul. Be sure to continue the discussion with us. We want to know what your guys' thoughts are on this debut. Do you guys see a huge future in the music business like I do, or are you just like, Marisha, you're thinking too hard into this because this is your major? So we'll see you guys later.
See y'all, home skillet biscuits.
Bye-bye.